إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد. When you look at the world today, you will notice that expectedly a lot of sins have become normal. And one of those sins that are so heinous yet are so normal is the sin of zina, fornication and adultery. And because it is so normal, it is important for us to remind ourselves of how heinous it is and why heinous it is. Because as Muslims, we cannot imagine that we are immune from the ills, from the mistakes of the larger society. We're susceptible, very susceptible. So why is zina such a problem? Well, to begin with, because it contradicts iman. That is, you cannot be a Muslim, like a really good Muslim. You cannot have iman if you ever wish to have iman. And yet think that the practice of zina is normal. It cannot be a normal part of your life. You cannot look at it approvingly, even if you don't practice it. And the Prophet ﷺ said, "La yazni zani hina yazni wa huwa mu'min." He says, the zani, the one who commits zina, when he commits it or she commits it, they do not this while having iman. There's a contradiction. They do not do this while having iman. And another hadith, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, clarifying what happens. قال إذا زنى الزاني خرج الإيمان منه فكان كالظلة فإذا انقطع عاد إليه. He says, when the person is committing zina, iman departs from him and it becomes, shades him like a cloud, leaves him. And it's next to him like a cloud. So if he stops, if he repents, it gets back. And when you look at the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, when he lists the attributes of the believers, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, those of iman are successful. And he lists their attributes, he says, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ, they safeguard their private parts. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ خُلِقَ هَلُوعًا. In the other sequence of ayahs, that Allah describes humanity as flawed. There are some flaws in it. إِلَّا الْمُصَلِّينَ, except those who pray. And then he lists their attributes. Similarly, an ayah that talks about that they safeguard their private parts. And Allah Azza wa Jal specifically addresses the believers, male and female. قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُ فُرُوجَهُمْ. Tell the males, believing males, to lower their gaze and safeguard their private parts. And for the females, the mu'minat, similarly, that they should lower their gaze and safeguard their private parts. وَلَا يُبْدِينَ زِينَتَهُنْ. He adds to this, let them not show their adornment. This is a barrier between you and zina to protect your iman. Otherwise, you compromise it and you lose it. It doesn't stay with you. And if a person wants to enter Jannah, he cannot be a fornicator, a zani. It's one of the greatest sins. As Allah Azza wa Jal said in the Quran, وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَدْعُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَهًا آخَرَ ولا يقتلون النفس التي حرم الله إلا بالحق ولا يزنون ومن يفعل ذلك يلقى أثاما يضاعف له العذاب يوم القيامة ويخلد فيه مهانا. Those who do not invoke with Allah Azza wa Jal another deity and do not kill the soul that Allah had made sacred, forbidden, except in justice, and do not commit zina, and the one who does this will face the penalty. The punishment will be doubled for them on the Day of Judgment, and they will reside in it forever. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he recited this ayah when someone asked him, Ya Rasulullah, what are the biggest of sins? He said that you would make or consider a rival with Allah Azza wa Jalla, and He is the one who created you. Then he asked him, and then what? He said that you would kill your son out of fear that they will eat your food. And he says, and then what? He said that you will sleep with your neighbor's wife, commit zina with your neighbor's wife. These are the greatest of the greater sins. And note how Allah Azza wa Jal listed them, and how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam listed them. It is shirk, then killing someone, and then zina. Note. And that is why Al-Imam Ahmad rahimahullah said, لا أعلم بعد قتل النفس ذنبا أعظم من الزنا. He says, I do not know of a sin greater than zina after killing someone. Meaning, killing someone is absolutely awful, unjustly. That's a considerable violation that Allah hates. And everyone agrees that it is heinous. But he says, right after this, the greater sin is zina. And consider the disparity of how people look at killing versus zina. How they reject one, but they accept the other. How someone is okay, or something like that is okay, and the other is not. And Imam Ahmad is saying, you would be the greatest sinful person if you are committing zina. You ask yourself, well, why is that the case? Because it's corrupting for self and corrupting for society. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he said, إِنَّ ظُهُورَ الزِّنَى, he says, the widespread practice of zina, فِيهِ خَرَابُ الْعَالَمِ وَمِنْ أَشْرَاطِ السَّاعَةِ. He says, the widespread practice of zina signals two things, the destruction of this world and the impending approach of the Day of Judgment. As for the destruction of this world, he said عليه الصلاة والسلام, قال وما ظهرت الفاحشة في قوم حتى يعلنوا بها إلا ظهرت فيهم إلا ظهرت فيهم الطواعين والأوجاع التي لم تكن في أسلافهم. He says, if illegal sexual intercourse is widespread until it's public among a people, is they will experience plagues and pains that are novel and new that people did not experience before. And he also said عليه الصلاة والسلام in another hadith, ما ظهر الربا والزنا في قرية إلا استحلوا عذاب الله. He says, if riba and zina is public and widespread in a town, in a city, they are inviting Allah's punishment. So think about the world that we have today and the mess that we see almost everywhere, and you think about it, where is this all coming from? And consider the role of riba in the economy and in everybody's life. Consider how widespread zina is until nobody bats an eye when they see it. No one rejects it or speaks against it when they see it. And then think to yourself, what are we marching towards except a destruction of humanity if this continues? So it's a destruction of this world. And he also said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that when you start seeing that, then the Day of Judgment is getting closer and closer. Because the Day of Judgment will come when things are turned upside down. When right is wrong and wrong is right. So he said, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, inna min ashrati sa'a an yaqilla al-ilmu wa yadhhar al-jahlu wa yushrab al-khamru wa yakthur al-zina. Aw kama qala alayhi salatu wasalam. It says, from the signs of the Day of Judgment is that knowledge, meaning Islamic knowledge, will shrink and ignorance will expand and alcohol will be drunk widely and zina will be widespread. And there's a connection between all of these. Because when you don't have knowledge, when you're ignorant, when you drink, you're more likely to commit these acts that Allah Azza wa Jal so much hates. So how can Allah Azza wa Jal bless you as an individual? How can Allah Azza wa Jal bless a town or bless a country when they allow this, when they don't speak against it? Say, why is it a problem? Because it will bring the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jal in the next life. Rasulullah alayhi salatu wa salam in a hadith, he saw the punishment of the zuna, of the fornicators and the adulterers. When he was with the angels and they were showing him instances of bliss and instances of punishment. So he looked at people. كانوا في مثل التنور, they're like in an oven. So he looked inside alayhi salatu wasalam, he saw naked men and women. And then fire were lit under them. And they started to scream and wail. So he said, asked the angel, who are those? And he says, هؤلاء الزنا. Those are the fornicators, the adulterers. So think about being burned alive in the next life. And not only that, in another hadith, he also said, عليه الصلاة والسلام, فَإِذَا أَنَا بِقَوْمٍ أَشَدُّ شَيْءٍ انْتِفَاخًا وَأَنْتَنُ شَيْءٍ رِيحًا كَأَنَّ رِيحَهُمُ الْمَرَاحِيدُ فَقُلْتُ مَنْ هَؤُلَاءِ قَالَ هَؤُلَاءِ الزُّنَاةِ. So they looked at people and they have swelled up as much as you can see or imagine. And they were stenchy, rotten smelling, as rotten as you can imagine. They smelled like a toilet. So I asked, who are those? And said, those are the fornicators. And I want you to keep something in mind, that there's always a correspondence between the punishment in the next life and the reality and the offense of the people who committed those offenses. There's always a correspondence. Why do they smell so bad? I want you to remember that smell. Every time you go into a public restroom and you're revolted by that smell, what is the thing that swells up and is rotten? Smells bad. It's what is rotten on the inside, what is corrupted on the inside. That's the thing that in this life, when you look at it, you say, it's gone bad. You throw it away. So Allah Azza wa Jalla is telling you that when you commit something like that, you are rotting on the inside. You're going bad. Even if you are celebrated, even if you are glamorized, even if you are praised, it doesn't matter. On the inside, this is how Allah sees you, and this is how you smell. So Allah Azza wa Jal turns that into a reality in the next life. So when you look at azani or azaniya, don't be attracted to what Allah Azza wa Jal says. In reality, they smell like a toilet. In reality, they are rotten like a toilet. Do you want to be close to something like that? Do you want to bring that into your body, into your mind, into your bed? And then expect Allah Azza wa Jal to bless you and honor you. It is a serious offense. And it contradicts iman. And it brings the anger of Allah Azza wa Jal. And also, it will destroy your love. If you're committing zina, because you say, I'm in love with so and so, rest assured that once you bring the shaitan into your companionship, your relationship, you are poisoning that love. If you really honor that person, if you really love that person, if you really want them to be your wife, your husband, the love of your life, do not bring the shaitan in your midst, because you are going to lose them and they are going to lose you. Your love for them and their love for you will turn into hatred, because the shaitan will poison every aspect of your life. Bring the shaitan into your food, he will take it away from you. Into your money, will take barakah away from you. Then into a relationship, and he will take it away from you. You want to love them? Love them the way that Allah Azza wa Jalla will continue to bless that love. Don't think that your choices are better than Allah's guidance. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه. الحمد لله رب العالمين حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه وأصلي وأسلم على رسوله محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. So you say, how do we protect ourselves from it? And there are things that we have to do as individuals, and there are things that need to be reformed in society, structural things in society, to incentivize people to marry early rather than choose zina as an alternative. The first thing that you should do is not simply be motivated by self-interest, but look at the common good and love for others what you love for yourself. Once a man came to the Prophet, a young man came to the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, and he said, Ya Rasulullah, إذن لي بالزنا. He says, O Prophet of Allah, give me permission to practice zina. So the Sahaba were angry with that type of request. And he said, no, let him be. And he says, come close. And then he had a brief conversation with him. قال أتحبه لأمك؟ أتحبه لأختك؟ أتحبه لبنتك؟ أتحبه لعمتك؟ أتحبه لخالتك؟ فكان يقول لا والله يا رسول الله لا أحبه لأمي لا أحبه لبنتي لا أحبه لأختي لا أحبه لعمتي لا أحبه لخالتي. قال فكذلك الناس لا يحبونه لأمهاتهم وبناتهم وأخواتهم وعماتهم وخالاتهم. He asked him, do you want to practice zina? Is it okay? Would you love something like that to happen to your mother? He says, no Prophet of Allah, never. Not to my mother. To your daughter. If you had a daughter. He says, no Prophet of Allah, never, not to my daughter. He says, to your sister. He says, no Prophet of Allah, not. To your maternal aunt, to your paternal aunt. He says, no Prophet of Allah, no. He says, similarly, no one likes this for their mothers, for their daughters, for their wives, for aunts, for their sisters. So if you're going to commit zina with a lady, think that she is the mother of so-and-so, the daughter of so-and-so, the sister of so-and-so, the aunt of so-and-so. Why do you want to do that to her? Where's the love and where's the respect? Where's the honor? So don't just look at your raging desire, but look at what you're doing to her, what you're destroying in her, what you're destroying in him. Then he said, alayhi salatu wassalam, Allahumma ghfir dhanbah. وطهر قلبه وحصن فرجه فلم يعد يلتفت إلى شيء من ذلك. Then he made dua for him عليه الصلاة والسلام. He put his hand on him and he said, Ya Allah, forgive his sin, purify and cleanse his heart, and protect his private parts. So that man afterwards never paid attention to that type of desire, that type of request. And that is a dua that you could do for yourself. Remember it, seek it, memorize it for your children. Allahumma ighfir dhanbah wa tahhir qalbah wa hassin farjah. Keep making dua for yourself so that Allah Azza will take that desire from you and send you to what He loves, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, a way to protect yourself from it is to know that things develop in stages. The shaitan is not gonna trap you in zina immediately, but will take you step by step to it. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith, Al-aynani zinahum al-nazar. He says, the eyes commit zina, and their zina is that illicit look. Al-udhunan zinahum al-istima', and their ears, when they listen to something illicitly that invites to zina, that's also their zina. And the tongue, when it speaks, inviting to zina, illicit talk, that's also the zina of the tongue. And the hands that illicit touch, that's their zina. And the feet walking to it, that is their zina. وَالْقَلْبُ يَهْوَى وَيَتَمَنَّى. And the heart wishes and longs. وَالْفَرْجُ يُصَدِّقُ ذَلِكَ وَيُكَذِّبُهُ. And the private part either accepts this or rejects it, confirms it or denies it. These are the steps. So you don't want your private part to commit the ultimate zina. Well, guess what? Our eyes commit zina. This is the zina of the eyes, the zina of the ears, the zina of the hands, the zina of the feet, the zina of the tongue. If you cleanse yourself of that type of zina, it's impossible for you to commit the ultimate zina. So the Prophet ﷺ was giving you the steps that the shaitan will take. Put a barrier between you and what angers Allah Azza wa Jal. Don't put yourself in situations that are compromising, that invite the shaitan. Never be alone with a woman. Never be alone if you are a female with a man. Don't let the shaitan be the third among you. Don't bring down the barriers that exist between you and a member of the opposite sex, especially at school, at work, when you commingle, when you intermix, and you start talking casually about mundane things, then sharing jokes, then talking about your day, and slowly but assuredly, slowly what's going to happen is that you're going to develop attractions to her and she to you. And the shaitan revels in all of this. Keep the barrier between you and a sister up, between you and a brother up. Speak sparingly as much as you need and nothing else. And don't be soft. Don't be inviting. You don't have to share what happened with you this day or that day. Talk to other men if you are male. Talk to other females if you are female. But fear Allah Azza wa Jalla. Don't let this assault you and ruin your relationships. So if we do this, and we then recommend and encourage everyone to get married as soon as they can. Marry early. Marry early. Convince your son, convince your daughter to marry early. They don't have to wait until they graduate from school, until they get a job. You don't understand, or maybe you do, but you forgot how difficult it is for them. And the level of temptation that they are facing out there, and how they are going to be brainwashed into committing that sin, and then not even considering it a sin anymore. You want to protect your children? Marry early. Convince them of the merits of marriage. Let them grow up together. Let them graduate together. Let them build a life together. Because if you don't do this, you may reach a stage where not only do they not want to marry, they cannot even marry anymore. So if we do this, despite that societal pressure, despite the structure, despite the trend, if we do this, then we can resist. And all of us are supposed to resist. Right? All of us are supposed to resist. You should consider yourself in the resistance. To uphold what Allah loves is not easy. To follow the Sunnah of Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam is not easy. To be sincere in this role today is not easy. But you're part of that resistance. You. I'm not talking about somebody else. I'm talking about you. You're part of that resistance. And we are relying after Allah Azza wa Jal on you. Because if you are weak, I'm weak. And if I'm weak, you're weak. So we ask you by Allah Azza wa Jal, be strong for His sake. And don't commit that sin. Stop. And ask Allah for the halal. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to grant us iffah, to grant us chastity, to grant us the halal and make it sufficient for us. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to protect us for all types of zina. Ya Allah, we ask you that you protect us from all types of zina and all sin that you hate, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. We ask you, Ya Rabbal Alameen, to make halal beloved to us and make haram distasteful to us. We ask you, Ya Rabbal Alameen, to cleanse our hearts, to forgive our sins and safeguard our private parts. We ask you, Ya Rabbal Alameen, to make us of those who love you more than they love themselves, of those who love Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam more than they love any other human. We ask you, Ya Rabbal Alameen, to forgive us our sins, that which we know about and that what we forgot. We ask you, Ya Rabbal Alameen, to grant us a sincere repentance from all major sins and to forgive us all minor sins, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. We ask you, Ya Rabbal Alameen, to send your immediate relief upon Muslims all over the world, especially, Ya Rabbal Alameen, in Gaza, especially in Palestine, especially in Bilad Islam, especially in Sudan, and in every other country or corner that we may not know about. We ask you, Ya Rabbal Alameen, to protect them and safeguard them and reconcile their hearts and give them victory against their enemy, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Allahumma ansur ahla Gaza ala man adahum, Rabbal Alameen. Allahumma ansur ahla Gaza ala man adahum, Rabbal Alameen. Allahumma ansur ahla Gaza ala man adahum, Rabbal Alameen. اللهم أبطل كيد عدوهم اللهم أرنا فيهم يوما أسودا فإنهم لا يعجزونك اللهم تقبل قتلى المؤمنين هناك شهداء عندك يا رب العالمين، اللهم تقبل قتلاهم شهداء، اللهم ارعى أيتامهم وأراملهم، اللهم أطعمهم وأسقهم، اللهم أطعمهم وأسقهم، وكن معهم ولا تكن عليهم، اللهم انصرهم ولا تنصر عليهم، اللهم امكر لهم ولا تمكر بهم رب العالمين، اللهم آتهم نصرا مؤزرا، واجعلنا ممن نصرهم ولم يخذلهم يا رب العالمين، اللهم آتنا الجنة وما قرب إليها من قول وعمل، وأعذنا من النار وما قرب إليها من قول وعمل، وأقم الصلاة.